Hey everyone, welcome to episode 89 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. It's my first Zoom podcast. I'm so excited. And I have my daughter, Allie, and her coworker slash friend, Lara, who are joining me as co-hosts today. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So Allie is a sporadic watcher. A bachelor, would you say, Allie?
At best.
Have you
Sporadic
even watched
is
this
the nice
season?
Way to say that.
Okay, but this season, this is the first episode you watched.
Yeah.
But Lara, you're a longtime watcher?
Yes, I started watching, I think I was 16. So it's been, I remembered my first season was Juan Pablo's season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, good for you. And you watched every single season?
Since then, yeah.
Great. Okay, but first we wanna since everybody knows Allie already, I'd like for them to get to know you a little bit better, just for a few minutes, and then we'll get into the crux of it.
Okay.
So, obviously you live in New York. Is that where you grew up? Where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Long Island. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And then I moved to Manhattan about a few years ago.
All right. And so you work at M Booth with Allie. How long have you been there?
Actually, since I graduated college, so it's been a few years.
She was an intern.
Yeah.
You were an intern
I
there?
I was an intern, yes.
And where did you go to college?
I went to Quinnipiac University in Connecticut.
Okay. Is that a big school?
I always say medium size. Not too small, but definitely not that big.
Okay. And
not like the size of like Eau Claire, Mom.
Okay. And let's see, what was I going to ask? How old are you then?
I'm 25. I'm with a
25. 25-ish.
Literally, yeah, I forget.
And how old were you when Juan Pablo season was on?
I remember being a sophomore in high school, so I must have been about 16.
Wow, so you've almost been watching it 10 years or so.
Yeah, I guess that makes me feel really old, but yeah, I guess so.
Oh, my
please.
God.
Oh, God.
I never thought of it like that.
10 years? Whoa.
Right? I've watched it every season, so that's 20 years. I started watching it when I was like 10.
Okay. I'm like shocked by that number, you guys. The fact that 2016 was almost like that many years ago for me is disgusting.
Isn't it crazy?
It is crazy. Ugh.
Anyway. What who was your favorite bachelor and who was your favorite bachelorette, Lara, ever so far?
My favorite bachelor, I always say Ben Higgins. I just thought he was a classic, sweet guy. He was like normal, but at the same time entertaining.
Yeah.
And I thought his season was also interesting because he was the one who started saying I love you to more than one girl.
Mm-hmm.
I also just loved him. He was just so cute. And then my favorite bachelorette season was Hannah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was just great guys, great drama, and it was just a classic season. And then my favorite bachelorette as a person was probably Caitlin Bristow.
Yeah. Caitlin Bristow. Yeah, that's my go-to. I love
yes.
her. I still love her. But I think Hannah Brown was a super entertaining bachelorette.
Yeah.
Did you watch her season, Allie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the season Tyler Cameron was on. So that's
yes.
a memorable season.
That was a really good cast. Who else that's big
it
that was on?
So he's with Hannah now. Dylan.
Oh yeah.
He's with a different Hannah now. He was on that one, but I remember there was this drama with this guy Luke, and Hannah handled it.
Yes.
Oh, Luke.
Yeah. The like I had sex with so and so, and Jesus still loves me. That was that one, right?
Yeah.
That was a really good season. And did you hear? Speaking of Dylan, this is going off track. Did you hear that Hannah G is pregnant?
Oh my God, no.
Wait, I don't know if that's true. I saw it. I follow a million Instagram.
They didn't have their wedding
accounts yet,
right?
No, they didn't. And so I'm thinking maybe it was a false rumor.
Oh.
Because I saw the Instagram post. Check it. Because what I saw was her walk. She was at New York Fashion Week and she walked some show.
Okay.
And the caption was, Hannah G didn't even know she was pregnant when she was walking the runway here. So it wasn't like a announcement But I don't, maybe that was not true. I haven't seen it anywhere else, and I would have thought that would have been all over the place if she was pregnant.
What's her last name?
Hannah Godwin.
Yes.
I liked, she was on Colton season, correct?
Mm-hmm. Not yeah. saying anything on
Twitter. I liked the girls. I didn't like Colton, but I liked the girls from Colton season.
Yeah, he had really good girls too. Okay, so let's go backwards a little bit. So sure. We found out that Charity is the next Bachelorette.
Yes.
My personal thoughts on that are I loved Charity. I really like her a lot. She's absolutely stunning, but I'm worried she's going to be a boring Bachelorette. What do you think? What do you guys think?
I don't think she's going to be boring. She seems really bubbly and sweet. I think as long as she has good guys, I think it'll be a good season. She's also just so gorgeous. It's almost
oh my god, she is so pretty. Her skin is like,
I know,
like literally perfect.
Yeah, and I think because of how kind she is, I think it'll be good. I don't think she, hopefully she won't be boring, but I think if she has good guys, I don't think she will be.
I suppose. Like, I heard this somewhere, and it's actually really true, that when you have a season, almost, I mean, the lead matters, obviously, but the real drama comes from the players or the contestants on it anyway. I mean, you're not usually going to get drama, so to speak, from the lead anyway. The drama comes from.
If you do get from the lead, that actually makes it a good season. But
yeah,
and I feel like when there's no drama from the lead, they're not really in it that much, you know, when it's drama from the girl. But I think with Zach's season, I think he was not involved in any drama, and I feel like you also didn't really see his side of things. You really more saw the girl side of things. But I mean maybe you feel differently, but I feel like the girls this season, there wasn't really that much drama.
Mm-mm.
They were all so nice to each other.
I think that they had to create drama to get the drama.
Definitely. And I think even when they tried to, it was still a struggle.
Totally. I don't know about you. Sorry, Allie. These are things that you didn't see or because, but I was from the get-go a big fan of Christina Mandrell.
Mm-hmm.
The only contestant to ever get her last name on like the show. Have you noticed that? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice
it's
that.
It's never, there's never both names, but she was the only contestant ever that I know of that had both. Even if they have two Victorias, it's Victoria P and Victoria L or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They have
she
like
was the first, Christina yeah. Mandrell, the whole
thing. Oh, that's so funny.
Anyway, I loved her. I thought for sure she was going to go to the final four and that she was going to be the Bachelorette. I was convinced.
Is she the mom?
Yes.
Okay, I mixed up with the other one. Yeah, I really liked her first too. And then once she started to get weird with the drama and being a little, I guess, petty,
yeah.
I guess that's when I was like, oh, I don't know if I like her that much anymore. But I did like her. I thought her one-on-one date with him was really cute.
Yeah, that is how she became petty, is her constantly talking about her one-on-one. Do you remember that was a show that Brittany went off on her? But,
wait,
but
is this the girl who got...
She was in the tell-all, so you probably...
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were arguing... In the tell-all, they were arguing about her, and she was just sitting there. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, she barely said anything, and they were all arguing about her.
Yeah.
She just was
watching. Well, of course, the one who... Well, I have a little theory about this, but of course, the one who mentioned something and talked the most about it was the one who goes home night one.
Right,
and like you're, yeah, it's always the one who goes home night one that wants to speak at the tell-all. But I wonder if it's because, like, I don't know if the producers like tell them to or push them to just to start more drama, because then other people are going to be like, you weren't even here, like, you just went home night one. Like, I don't know, but like, it's just so funny that every time there's a tell-all for guys and girls, the one who goes home night one is the one who speaks the most.
100%. You know, my theory on that is that that the women tell all or the men tell all is a audition for Bachelor in Paradise. And my theory is that any of the girls, whether they went home on night one or whether they just went home last week, if they're trying to get all the screen time and all the talking time, it's their sort of audition for Bachelor in Paradise. Like the more they
Producers have that in their ear, like you were saying, to start more drama. That makes sense.
And because I don't know if they'll, you know, this is, so I would, all, you know, most of the girls, I'm sure there'll be girls and guys from other seasons too, but the vast majority will likely come from this season and then Charity season as far as.
Well, there's also a lot of guys from, because I know there was the weird timing last year.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of guys. Who was the last Bachelorette? The two.
It was the double one.
The double one. I can't believe that was already the last one.
I know.
The double. There were a lot of guys that didn't make it on the last Paradise.
That's so true.
I imagine they start bringing in some people too.
Yeah, because the timing was really close to it. So they almost had to go home early to be able to be on Paradise. That's right. So I also heard about Mentel All that this is, again, we're going backwards, I guess, but I heard that the taping of the any of those tell-all shows is like from 10 to 12 hours in totality. Like when they film it, it's that long and they cut it down because I listened to Nick Biles' podcast a lot, and his two producers that are on the show with him all the time have gone to it a couple times, and they say it takes 10 to 12 hours to film the whole thing, so they cut it up obviously a lot because you only
wouldn't Nick Vile know that though?
No, his producers go to the show, but like they went for the taping of the show, so they sat there for 10 or 12 hours.
Oh, okay,
get it? That's like, you know what I mean. And so they also said that when you're there, you know how they always have reactions from the audience, like clapping or laughing or like having looks on their face, like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. That they'll say to the audience, okay, now everybody clap. And then they'll just get shots of everyone clapping. And then they'll say, okay, now everyone looks shocked and look at each other like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. And they'll film that. So they just, they just stick that in wherever they want the reaction. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
TV audience thing that they do, because I've been in TV audiences before for like talk shows, and they would make us do that, like make us clap and act like they're walking out when they're not. But
isn't that so funny?
That makes sense. Yeah, but
I mean, because then they can, like, if they bring the villain in and they don't get enough boos like they want, they'll just you know, have their segment of where they said, okay, now everybody boo. You know, that's so crazy.
I also, it's funny because I like it better when the tell-all is only like an hour and it's next to, for example, like it could have been Monday night right after the hometown date, but I hate when they make it a whole nother night and it's 2 hours long. I'm like, this doesn't need to be 2 hours long.
Not at all. Not at all. Because the hot seats were all pretty unspectacular in my opinion.
So true. They were boring.
They were so boring.
There wasn't like confrontational at all.
No, it wasn't. And there wasn't
big enough drama for them to even address on.
No. Like, They address most of the interesting stuff with drama at the beginning when all the women were fighting together sitting down.
Yeah.
That was so chaotic.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, nobody
could you understand most of that, Allie, when they were like,
no, because like somebody would just start saying something where I could get context, and then someone else was like, yeah, what is that? You went home night one.
That's usually how it goes down.
That was funny. Okay, well, let's go over to like back up and go to the hometown dates.
Oh yeah.
So Gabby was first. She was in Vermont. What did you think of that hometown? Any thoughts?
I have to say,
was she the maple syrup one?
She was the maple syrup one.
Okay.
I have to say, Gabby is one of my favorites. I see like myself being friends with her. So the second I saw her earlier on the season, I knew I was gonna like her, and that she was, I was hoping she would make it far, but she like had a slow start with Zach. That's why that's what I liked about their journey, is that they didn't hit it off right away. I think she like slowly progressed through with him. And yeah, I thought their hometown date was sweet. And then it was frightening that her and her sister looked exactly alike.
Oh my God.
I couldn't tell
alike.
Who was who sometimes.
I know.
Looked exactly the same. It was really weird. And then I remember like my mom called me and I knew exactly why she was calling me. And I just answered the phone. I'm like, I know, they look exactly alike. She was like, it's so scary. They're like literally twins. Yeah, I thought it was a classic, like, went well hometown date, you know? Because sometimes you usually have that one parent, sibling, or friend who give them a hard time. But I thought it went well.
I thought her mom and dad were so cute.
Yeah.
Her dad was the one that started crying.
Yes.
Oh, it's so
funny how like emotional they get, and they don't even know him.
Right?
See her so emotional, they get emotional, I guess. But yeah, that was definitely an emotional one. And she wouldn't stop. I thought it was a little weird that she wouldn't stop crying after, and didn't want to leave. Like. It's fine, but
she was the only one that did not say like the I'm falling in love with you
right
words.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I kind of hate when the bachelor or bachelorette sends someone home just because they didn't say that.
I hate
and
it.
Like, you gotta give them like, you know, like give credit to them because there's not that much time to fall in love with someone on the show.
Oh.
You don't see them that much. So like I wouldn't be like offended if someone didn't say it to me.
I made that note about this show in particular. Yeah. And it happens every single season, but they put entirely too much pressure on these people to have to say the words either I love you or even I'm falling in love with you. Because in real life, I mean, this has been a long time ago for me, but it's not a thing, is it? Like to be like, oh, I just told so-and-so I'm falling in love with him now.
No.
And that's like a step in a relationship.
That's not real, right?
Or even guys from like bachelorette season, if they feel like they have to say it just to move forward.
Yes.
Regardless of how they feel. And I always give credit to the ones who aren't ready to say it. And I'm like, I don't blame you because you haven't really spent a much time with them to even say it.
Absolutely not. Someone said that even the girls that go to like to the final four, like for this week, spend a total of like 24 hours with the lead. I mean, think of that.
Yeah.
That's like nothing. How would you in real life, you would never in a million years tell someone you love them after having spent 24 hours with them.
Like they only have one one-on-one date, which is like probably, I guess, 12 hours, let's say. And it's rare for you to get a second one until you're like bottom three. So you only have like a few full dates with them.
Yeah.
Where you get engaged. I mean, I know that's the whole concept of the show, but it's just crazy how like I feel like they get a little brainwashed to make themselves believe they're in love with them.
Totally. I mean, and I get, I always try to appreciate that they're in this like bubble, so to speak, where they don't have their phones. They have no communication with anybody. This is literally all they can focus on. So I'm sure it's something like brainwashing. It's just like they have nothing else to focus on. So they think they are in love. It's why like what 80% of them don't work in the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder too, if they actually put pressure on the leads to encourage those like words. You know what I mean? I hate that though. I hate it. Cause it's not real. I mean, it's supposed to be reality TV. It's not.
Well, Zach didn't say it back to anyone, right?
No.
Okay.
He hasn't. And I know they're not supposed to, but leads have done that before.
Many times. Ben Higgins.
Hey, I have to ask you guys a question. So this is non-bachelor related, but so they had that maple syrup thing. And she was making fun of him because he picked the fake maple syrup. Which maple syrup? Have you ever had real maple syrup?
Maybe, but it's not something I would remember.
Allie, you have.
Yeah.
Which one do you like better?
I like the fake one better.
I totally like the fake better. I actually was kind of cracking up at Zach during that part because he was like, the fake one better.
I thought that was weird because I was like, what the hell are you guys doing right now? But when he did that, I knew he was going to pick the fake. And she was like, you just shot me basically or something. And he was like, what? And she was like, that's the fake one. I was like, duh, that's the fake one. It's good. If you're actually trying to get the answer right, like, you knew you weren't supposed to say that one, right? Come on.
Well, also from the maple syrup I've had, you would totally be able to tell the difference in the texture because real maple syrup is like runny. Yeah. And that's really thick. And so, yeah, I thought that was hilarious, actually. What about the weird, awkward, like inappropriate sticking their finger in the hole of the tree?
Okay. They started doing that and I was like, are we five? Right? Like, what is happening? Well, also, like, I was like, even when they were doing it and they were saying all of it, I was like, is this a bit or like what's
right?
Happening? Well, I'm gonna be honest, I don't find Zach funny. Like, I just even when he tries to be, I'm like, this isn't funny.
Cringy. He is the cringiest. He is the cringiest.
That is the perfect word. He is.
But he seems cringy. Really, really nice.
I think he is. That's how come I think he's gay. I mean, because he's nice. And I think
but I think he also took the process like maybe a little too seriously to the point where it got so serious. And when he really threw me off with, which girl was it when he had that COVID group date and it was over Zoom?
Greer.
Yeah, and she said something like, oh, like when I had COVID and I had to take sales call or something like that. It was something about like sales, like her job. And he was like, how dare you compare this to me finding my wife or something. I was like, all right, she was just like letting you know that she had COVID before and went through it in a hard time. Like, it wasn't like she was comparing herself to you.
I mean,
comparison. Like,
he got a lot of criticism for that. I thought maybe they would even address that on the Men Tell All last night. The Women Tell All. I really thought they would because
maybe they didn't show it. But
oh, well, that's very true. He was a total douchebag on that. I mean, he was so rude. I felt so sorry for her.
Yeah,
she was just trying to be empathetic. She wasn't literally comparing the two things. She was like,
I can't remember what her name was. This girl that we're talking about.
Was it the girl that got the first impression rose?
Yes, Greer. It was Greer. She got the first impression rose. Okay. Yeah.
If more happened than like what they made it look like on the Women Tell All, like this is what, if I had to guess what happened based on the Women Tell All, this is what I would guess. I would guess that he got COVID for whatever, she got COVID for whatever, and they were back to back, and so they couldn't see each other that whole time, and the conversation was like, the progress is just not there, and like I've progressed with them and not with you, so
you're
like
so you're smart
gone. Yep, that's exactly
what happened.
Nice. Well, my opinion, if I was there and I got COVID and I had a quarantine for X amount of days, I would have just gone home. I would have been like, just there's way too much time has passed, like really moving forward with the rest of the women.
Remember what happened with Logan on last season? He got COVID they didn't even address it. All of a sudden, he was just gone.
I remember it was like the one thing everyone was fixated on, like, where's Logan?
Yes. And they just sent him home. So why didn't
they? Probably because they were on a ship, right?
Yes, they were on a ship. But which is even more reason for them to address it, because what did they have to do? Like, dock the ship and take him back? Like,
just throw him off the side.
Yes. See ya.
I
wonder if they did it with her and like convinced her to stay just to have more drama on airtime, maybe.
Totally. That's what I think.
Going on. And I felt really bad for her. I'm like, they probably convinced her that she was going to stay. And then he was like, no. He's like, totally. I'm far along with the rest of the women. And like, I don't think this is going to work. I felt really bad.
I did too. I completely agree. I think that they convinced her because she had to go from Estonia to where was that?
She had to travel.
Yeah, she had to travel from Estonia to wherever that Budapest was, right? Isn't that where they went? Yeah. They had to drag her all the way there just to get broken up with.
To get broken up with. And I mean, right after recovering.
Geez, I really did feel sorry for her too. And he, to me also, anytime he would talk to the women and they had some kind of their sad story or whatever the case may be, he seemed like the least empathetic guy ever.
I know.
He never would like make them feel better.
That's been going around of him, that women pour their heart out and share their life stories and things they've never shared with people before. And he just sits there like, oh,
yeah. that you keep seeing that meme where he's just like with his face, you know, like he's like completely tuned out. He also did that to Jess whenever she was complaining or not complaining about, but she was talking about not getting the one-on-one, and she said it two or three times, and he was like, why are you saying it's all about the one-on-one? It's not about the one-on-one. And I was like, yes, it is. I obviously can hear. And she kind of talked about that in the Women Tell All. She was like, I don't feel like he was hearing me.
I liked her so much.
I really thought she was going to go way at the beginning. I thought she would be in the final four.
I literally liked her just how she was talking on the show. I know nothing about her, and I didn't even, she wasn't even in the show that I watched, obviously. And so I had no idea who she was, but I liked her. And I was like, you know, actually what I liked was that I understood her argument, and like, he seemed to have not at all. I freaking forgot.
You were talking about Jess, and then you were saying,
and then
how you liked her.
Yeah. And I liked her, and like, I liked her argument, 'cause I was like, that makes sense to me. Like, that's kind of like the show's version of if he wanted to, he would. You know what I'm saying? Like the one-on-one dates is right. His opportunity to be like, I don't have to choose you, but I'm choosing you. And so I got her point that she was last, and he kept telling her that he liked her, and he liked her, and he liked her. And I was like, it's kind of like they have to lead people on. It's the show.
Exactly.
And she actually really liked him, though, and he was leading her on, which is like so tough. And they didn't even really address anything whenever he came out and talked to her.
No.
I was like, guys, I was really waiting for her to be like, you gaslit me into thinking I was crazy.
Well, again, maybe she could have and they cut it out, or maybe it wasn't
exactly, but like, I wanted her to have that moment.
It pisses me off too when they do that stuff, though, if they did cut that out, because that was like, to me, I also wanted to hear that. I wanted to kind of hear her give him hell for kind of gaslighting her.
They used to be way more like that. Like, they used to be like the last like three women who he broke up with, like they would each get to sit on the couch with him and like have their own conversation. And it's not like that anymore.
It's not. You're right. And I think all of the women that had issues to address with him all let him off way too easy. And not that he did anything wrong, because again, he, except what I don't like too, they both, like, so Catherine asked him this and Charity did. They both wanted to know if there was a particular time or a particular thing that changed his mind that he made him send them home. Mm-hmm. And I get that you probably do feel like there has to be at least one thing, because you feel like the whole time you're the one. But again, I feel like that's such a general sort of question to ask a lead, because again, this is the show. Like, he can't pick five girls. He has
to send someone home.
Right. Yeah. Even if he liked you a bunch, but he didn't like you quite. I mean, or I wish he would just be like, well, you know, it was between you and Gabby, and I like Gabby just a little bit more than you. Yes. So you went home.
That's usually like, what they end up saying. It has nothing to do with what I dislike about you. I just have stronger feelings for the other women, which is the right thing to say, because you don't want to say like, I didn't like the way you like said this to me. Or the way you did that. Like,
you chew so freaking loud. That's why I didn't like you.
Like,
you smacked your gum.
Except if I was the Bachelorette, that is what I'd be saying. I'd be like,
I didn't like the way you like
the way you cross your legs when you sit, the way you breathe when you run, the way you like chew.
You have terrible style.
That would be me. I'd be like, I saw you eat. No, I saw you swim. No.
And I would honestly, that would be kind of refreshing to see a lead just be like honest like that. Like, you know, everything was great. And
you're definitely not allowed to do that. But like, I would just like get the ick from so many people. I know I would. That, like,
you have a whole list ready if someone asked you that.
Literally, like, if I get up on that stage and they're like, what'd I do wrong? I'm like, well, you chew loud, you breathe loud, you snore, you jumped in the pool weird that one time, you drink wine weird, I don't know, like the way you cut your steak was horrible.
And he's like, oh, okay, I got it now.
Nothing personal.
Yeah, but I really liked you a lot.
But you were really important to my journey of finding myself in my
life. We had a great connection. It just wasn't as strong as the guy who didn't walk weird.
Like,
okay, so we didn't, let's see, we were at Gabby's date. We covered her date, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. So then Ariel. Okay, so I was excited to ask you guys about this. Did you guys recognize anything from her date?
Yes, actually. She went to Sarge's, which is right by my apartment. So
really?
I didn't see them.
Oh, cool.
It's actually, Allie, it's also not that far from our office. It's kind of in between my
which
apartment.
Which one was
office.
That?
It's called Sarge's. It's a deli.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's so funny. And then
what about the calzone place, Ben's Calzones?
But that one I haven't heard. She was in West Village, so I know that area, but I never went to that place. And then the speakeasy I've never seen either, but that was really cool. And like, also, they did not know what a speakeasy was because she like she walked out there with him and was like, "This is called a speakeasy," and I'm like, "Does he not
know
what that is?"
Like,
I don't know if she just like said it because like she was on camera and was like. I don't know, the way she was speaking, I really like Ariel, but like she's very scripted. I don't know if she like wanted to make sure that she was saying everything right, and it's just like she almost felt like a tour guide to me.
But, she did, but you know, I feel like she gave that vibe kind of the whole time. I really think she just could articulate herself well.
Like, I think that's what I was also thinking. I was like, she had this like, I don't want to say dry sense of humor, but she
totally
thing, but like, and I don't know, I can't describe her, but I was thinking, like, she sounds really rehearsed, but it could also just be like how she talks, but she is hilarious because she was like that with their one-on-one date. Like,
yes,
the way I'm like, it's almost like she rehearsed all of this.
I thought she was so funny. I thought she was hilarious.
Whenever they were like, she's from, whenever he was like, I'm in New York City in Ariel's hometown, I was like, okay, so this girl is either like what she is, which is like the first generation, like made her way and like knew not like rich New York, like she like had a normal life in New York, or I was like, this girl's gonna be like a nepo baby who like grew up in like the Upper West Side and is like, you know, like Kim, is that her name? Like that, like I didn't know what she was gonna be, and then I ended up really liking her because she
I wish Kit, now that you mentioned it, when she was on Matt James season, now I wish she had a hometown date because that would have been really nice to see.
Oh god.
Like, but I think, and I actually said this to my friend, that I don't remember a time where they did a hometown date in New York City.
No,
I
think this is one of the first times.
State. Yeah, so that was fun to watch. But it's funny, it makes me wonder, because I'm from Long Island, I was like, I have no idea where I would take him if I made it to hometown, because I'm just in like a normal suburb area, like the mall, like I have no idea where I would
the gas station where I got my soda.
Yeah, right? Like my favorite, I would have to go to New York City, honestly, because there's really be nothing to show besides like, I guess like the beach, but that's not exciting. Like.
Yeah, and actually it seems like a lot of the girls or whoever, the people going to hometowns don't necessarily show their like hometown. They show where they currently live and have the parents
that's probably
come
what I would
there.
Have to do.
Well, that would have to be what I did.
Yeah. It was so, did you, cuz again I listened to I that's all I do is listen to Bachelor podcasts. Okay. So I was listening to another one, and it was oh, she was on Juan Pablo's season. Why do I always Charlene Joyner? She was the opera singer on Juan Pablo's season.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you remember her. But she, I didn't like her on the season, but I listened to her, and she's married to just a totally non-Bachelor related person now. Mm-hmm. And they live in New York too. And so on their recap, when they were talking about this hometown, they went to Washington Square Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. And there's the guys playing chess. And Charlene's husband was like, yeah, I play chess with those guys all the time. Like, I guess that's a thing. I was going to ask you guys about that. Like, you pay like $5 to be able to play chess with them, and they're just known for how well they play chess, and people want to pay to see if they can beat them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did talk about that with him, and he got like all nervous or something.
He didn't want to play. He didn't want to play. But yeah. Do you guys see them there? Like, do you see the chess guys?
I definitely get past them. I mean, I've never played, and I never would, but I definitely, definitely like known there.
And well, it sounded like it was a total thing.
Yeah.
That's also cool. Like, if the arch is in the middle of the park, and then that fountain, they sit over on like the side, like when you're walking out of the park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's name is Paul. So if you ever walk by there, just be like, Paul, and see what Joyce looks at you. He's supposed to be the best one, apparently. He's supposed to be the best chess player.
Would you fangirl if I took a picture with Paul?
Sure. But they didn't even show the chess guys, really. They just showed
Zach freaking out.
They didn't talk to her mom. Did you notice that? They didn't like show that part.
I think because the brother just took over.
I feel like they totally built that up to be like this totally threatening, like, oh gosh, they're not going to approve of Zach, and it's going to be this badass brother like thing. And I know, the sister like didn't say one word. She just sat there.
I was like,
he was intimidating, like the questions he was asking. But I have to say, he was asking good questions, but Zach was so scared that he just did not know how to answer them and had horrible answers. Like, he's obviously not good under pressure, which is fine. But I also feel like Zach just was not prepared for any of these for some reason. Like, I feel like he thought he was going to have like casual conversations with everyone. But when there's tough, hard questions that, of course, they're going to ask, he was just like, oh, I don't know.
When he was like, why should my sister choose you? And he was like, his answer. And then at the end, he was like, and I'm a pretty good cook.
I actually rolled my eyes. I was like, no way the brother's going to like him after this.
No, literally. When he did that, I was like, ew.
That's exactly
trying to be funny. Like, he was being serious.
Well, and I think that's what you said, though. Even if he was trying to be funny, that's the kind of stuff that's like, that's cringy. That's not funny, Zach. Just stop.
You know, though, that like, if that was me and like Tyler heard my significant other on The Bachelor say that, he would be like, no.
Probably what the brother's reaction was, though, was no.
Like, yeah, he was like,
when he asked, I don't really know her middle name, and like Zach probably wanted to so badly to text her or call her and be like, what is your middle
name? Yeah, that was awkward. I was like,
I thought it was so funny though, because it was birthday. Do you know what her birthday is? He didn't know her birthday was, or her middle name. And then his excuse was like, oh, well, we have to talk about the series of first, we have our whole lives to address the little stuff. And I'm like, her birthday? That's not a little thing. That's her birthday. How do you
know? It's funny because like whenever they do the one-on-ones, I always think that to myself. I'm like, they're asking the deepest questions about each other and not like the small little things, like your birthday.
Well, except also, they force these people to trauma dump on like their first
trauma dump. That is the
perfect. And I'm like, what if they don't want to talk about how her dad's abandoned her? Like,
that's exactly right.
What if she doesn't want to open up about that to a random stranger who might say he loves you and actually doesn't? Like, that's okay.
And everyone didn't like how Zach was like not pressure, but how these women, you know, pour their hearts out and trauma dump, like Ali said. But and then he didn't say anything in return. And I'm like, it's funny because it reminded me of Matt James season where everyone felt like he was quiet and said nothing in return. But I wonder if it's because he says the same thing every time and they just cut it out because we kind of already know him and we need to know the women more. But he could respond and say something back, but they just like cut it out. Could have really
maybe, in my opinion, then the producers are kind of screwing him over because by doing that, they're making him look kind of like an empathetic douchebag because he shows no empathy.
And Matt James, because I always followed Matt James on Instagram and TikTok, and he was always just like a fun, bubbly, humorous guy. And they did not show that side of him on his season. And it was probably because of the edit. But it reminded me of this. I'm like, I wonder if we're seeing just like, this is showing a different side of him, you know, like at the more serious side.
I think so too, but I'm sure that's what it is. But I still, you know, we can only judge based on what we see. So what we saw to me was just, he's not very good at empathy. He was not very good at coming back with anything, whether they were talking about something great that happened in their life or whether they were trauma dumping or whatever they were doing. He just stared at them blankly and they would be crying. And he just was like,
oh my God, I know.
Nodded his head. And
it was awkward to watch. But going back to the hometown, I always say this every year. There's always that one like parent, brother, sister who say, yeah, but what about the other women? Like they always question the other women. And I'm so glad because they have to kind of remind their like the contestant, like, you know, it's not just you, like there's other women involved. Like, yes, you're talking about how much you love them, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the other women? Like he could be saying the same thing about or saying better things about like the next person that he's seeing tomorrow. So it is something to think about, but like they always say, like, what about the other women now? And then I hate when they ask him because it's so awkward for him to answer. Like, what's he gonna say? Oh, I like the girl I'm gonna see tomorrow better. Like,
right. What are they supposed to say? Plus, they all know there's three other girls. I mean, why even bring that up? Because there's good answer.
The brother was being too intense on in his defense. Like, I was like, dude, chill. It's not that serious. Like, whoa. That's also just like so embarrassing. Like if I feel like if my brothers like did that, I'd be like, you didn't need to be that person on TV. Like you were literally just doing that for your 15 minutes of fame. And
well, also
if the cameras weren't there, you would not do that.
Ariel hyped him up though when she was talking to Zach about it. Was like, oh yeah, he would beat guys up for me. And I was like, what?
Which is weird. That's always weird. Like siblings are dating.
So I always wondered if on these hometown dates, whether they, you know, I obviously we see like 10 minutes, but I'm sure they're there for hours and hours. But, and then I always thought, well, I wonder how much they talk about like just off camera with the people, you know, but I talked to, I interviewed Clayton's mom. I don't know if Allie told you that.
Yeah.
And so I asked her that question and she wasn't super specific about it. I don't think Clayton wanted her to spill a whole lot of background stuff, but she did tell me that those scenes were like, because I guess it was a verse though, because it's the Leeds parents, but still Rachel and Gabby both got to meet them. And she said it was like an all day filming thing. Like they filmed all day and we saw for each one. So one whole day for Gabby, one whole day for Rachel, but really they were not allowed to talk to each other unless cameras were rolling. So if cameras weren't rolling, they sort of split everybody up.
Oh.
So I think it's just so that they, I guess maybe for two reasons, maybe one, so that that Clayton can't go, hey, mom and dad, I'm really going to pick Rachel or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or also so that they cannot also have Clayton be like, okay, in the next scene, I'm going to tell you this thing that's really shocking, but I'm going to tell you now so that you can react now and not later. Like maybe they want real reactions, but relating that to this brother, like I feel like there'd be so many questions you'd actually want to ask that guy that you, again, don't want it to be on TV, but it's the show. So you just have to go with it, I guess, you know, it would just be such a hard thing. I don't know. Allie always said, I want you to be the Bachelorette, but I don't think I want you to be the Bachelorette anymore. It would be too hard on your mental health. I just think it would be awful.
It's also just
oddly be good at it.
Huh? You what?
I said I would oddly be good at it. I know I would be.
You would until the producers manipulate the shit out of your edit and make you look like so a completely different person.
Oh, you mean being the actual Bachelorette?
Yeah.
No, I would never want that.
I feel like I'd rather be the Bachelorette versus the contestant.
Yeah.
Unless
you're Clayton, he got a terrible edit and he was the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got a horrible
edit. I don't think I want to go on the show at all, honestly.
I don't think he should either.
It's like if you're in your own bubble. Like, I don't know if I could like be in that own bubble for however long, 2 months, like of not being involved with the, like,
I guess. You'd also have to quit your job.
Yeah.
Most, have to, or like, I mean, imagine me saying to our job, Allie, like, hey guys, I'm gonna go to Bachelor, I'll be gone for 2 months.
Yeah, they're like, okay, so you're quitting, or
what? Well, Jason Tardik, famously got just a leave of absence from his job when he
lucky. I don't know if because maybe you've been there for so long and it might just give it to you. I actually listened to Peter, on Jason's podcast, And talking
pilot,
about how
pilot Pete,
the
or,
pilot Pete, okay, yes, yep. Pilot Pete, because he was asking like, how did you do that? And he had to like I don't know what he planning about the flights and everything. Like he had to literally like do all of his flights or like number of flights before he left or something. Oh. I don't know, but he was explaining about it. And I'm like, it's so crazy how before you leave, you have to literally figure out your job. Like forget packing and,
right.
and go, you better figure out your life first before you go to be in The Bachelor.
No,
and like,
absolutely.
What happens if your lease ends and while you're gone? Like you have to, I don't, there's just so many logistics of being an adult that you have to figure out before you just go away for 2 months on reality TV with no cell phone.
The no cell phone part drives me insane just even thinking about it.
That's crazy.
Right. I mean,
it's also like you can't text any of your friends and be like, guys, this is what's going on. Like, you know me. This, what's happening? Because it would be.
Just scrolling through your phone, like
but
I know, like how boring would the day be? I mean, I guess you're in a house with all these other girls, but still, how much can you just?
And I guess the producers are there too, and you become friends with them. But still, it's like probably really hard.
Yeah, I think that the days of are starting to wane of everyone going on. Oh, that's another topic I wanted to address because they talked about that on the Mental All is the whole social media thing and how they didn't, you know, like it's one of my pet peeves and I talk about it all the time on the podcast about how I hate how The Bachelor does not embrace social media and they make it seem like it's evil it's like mutually exclusive. You can't want social media fame, so to speak, and want to find love. Like it's like they think that can't happen, you know, and they make every person that seems like they go on to build their social media like becomes the villain, and I can't stand that. I don't understand why that's such a big deal. Why can't you have both? Why can't you be like, oh yeah, I might get 100,000 Instagram followers, but if I find love, awesome, great. Like why is that not accepted? I hate that about the show. I hate it.
Because if you even say like, oh, I just went on just to like get some followers and if I find love, great, then yeah, everyone's like, so you didn't go for love, you were there for the right reasons.
Yeah,
like,
you were there for the wrong reasons. Well, the whole Anastasia thing during the Mental All that was addressed with her.
Yeah, and apparently she had a boyfriend. I don't know, that was a weird
that part was weird. Yeah. I didn't know what to make of that.
All I kept hearing was one girl screaming a dog and then the other one was like, you had a boyfriend. Like, I don't know. It's just, they were all over the place. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
That cat, the one, not the cat that was Catherine until the cat that always had the girl that always had her eyes were like this. And she had she went home early, the blonde. She was last night to me was super annoying, but she was the one that kept throwing around to Anastasia that she had a boyfriend. And she was like, I didn't have a boyfriend. She was like, oh, okay, well, then I guess the guy you were.
That's another thing. There's always someone who may have a guy or a boyfriend. But I don't honestly blame them because if you're like talking to someone before you leave and then you get dumped, you're going to go back to them when you get back. So it's not. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be like exclusively boyfriend, girlfriend. That's weird. But if you're like talking to someone.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
These are all young guys and women. Right. Like, who cares?
Let's not act like everybody
honestly,
else.
If a guy says to me, be right back, I have to go to The Bachelor. I have to go be on The Bachelor. Like, and I was talking to them, I'd be like, all right, well, if you get dumped, I'm here for you. I want to hear all about it.
Right. I mean, if you truly do like fall in love with the lead, then so be it. But again, like you're one of 30 people. So your chances of winning the show is 1 in 30. Yeah. So
that's hard.
I mean, the odds are never, ever on your side. So I don't know how come it's not okay to go on for whatever reason they want to go. And actually that Anastasia, she was explaining on the show what was happening. Cause they were like, oh yeah, all she's talking about is the sponsorship she has and who she works with and how much she gets paid from the different people. And I was like, okay, well, if you were talking to her about her social media and asking her about this, about like the projects that she has, then obviously you are interested. So you're just as much at fault supposedly as her talking about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she was saying too, that it wasn't like she was just going around saying, hey, everybody, I have 25,000 followers or whatever I have. She was like, girls were asking her, oh, so how did you get that collaboration? And she was like, well, I had to have, you know, this much engagement and these, this many followers. And so she was just answering questions about how she currently was doing, because her job was literally content creator. Like that was her little title underneath her. So okay. It was her job. Yeah. Like her job.
I know
that.
All about content creators.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
But so why wasn't she allowed to talk about her Instagram? That's her right. job. So it just annoys me. It's my
I mean, honestly though, she's probably the best one out of all of them that can just drop and leave and go on The Bachelor because she didn't have a 9-to-5 job.
So exactly. So. Right.
Okay. Out all
she's pulling in way more money than any of the corporate people.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. What did you think about Charity's hometown?
It was very sad. Like there was just a lot of crying.
Oh my God. She cried the whole hometown.
Yes. I like that's also something with her being a bachelorette. Like I hope she's not crying the entire time.
Me too.
But yeah, I mean with the brother was very good looking.
I think he should be the bachelor. Like
yeah. And I think he was very sweet to Zach. Like he was just asking the right questions, listening to him. And I know when she was talking to the dad, but what was sad was that they apparently her last relationship ended really bad to the point where she was just not okay. And I feel like if you were that terrible after a bad relationship, I don't think The Bachelor's for you.
Right?
It really like, you know, plays with your mind. So I can't imagine how hard it probably was for her. But I mean, I thought it went really well, and it sounded like they did like a swap where they did family first and then they went out after, which was different. It didn't happen. I mean she kept saying to her family and friends, oh yeah, I haven't said the L word yet.
Oh my God. I was gonna bring that up because of any hometown date that was brought up by everyone. It was brought up by her mom. It annoys me how they say it. I think it was her mom that was like, mm-hmm. Have you told him that you're falling in love with him yet? And I was like, who does that? I will never say that to you, Allie. Yeah. Allie, have you told him that you're falling in love with him yet?
I would literally puke.
I feel like it's a literal step that the producers tell everyone.
I wonder.
That is in the, it is part of this game.
Now that you mention
it. I have to say that word.
Yeah, at least one of the parents' sibling friends asked that. So now that you mentioned it.
Yes.
I wonder, yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, because that's not a natural question for a mom to ask her daughter. Oh, have you said you're falling in love with him yet?
Unless they're like obsessed with the show and like know that you should have that by that point.
But right. But it's not a normal question to ask.
If I was the contestant, I would get so annoyed with my family, like trying to be in the camera and like asking questions. I'd be like, you would literally never ask that about someone, or like, why are you acting different in front of like the camera than you really would be? Like, that would make me so angry.
Yeah, it would. That's the stuff that I wish. Like, I really, really wish. Do you watch Love Is Blind? Do you have either?
I watched the first couple seasons. Yeah.
So, like, the reason I like that I almost better is because I feel like they have actual conversations that you would have. Like I think on The Bachelor, all you hear them talk about, except for their trauma dumping, is, oh, our connection is so great. Oh, this journey is so wonderful. Oh, you make me feel so special. Oh, I'm so comfortable with you. It's like all this surface level, just bachelor gibberish. Why don't they say like, okay, how many siblings do you have? Like where did you grow up? What was your first job? Where did you go to college? How do you feel about religion? Like, how are you? Like,
what are your political views?
What, like, why don't they do that on Love Is Blind though? They talk about that kind of stuff, but they refuse to talk about that stuff on The Bachelor.
I think also they wait until the fantasy suite, because usually whenever they come out of fantasy suite, they break up for those reasons. Like I remember Tayshia's, I think it was, what's his name?
Ivan.
About religion, which is so important, because you know one person could say I only want to marry this religion, or you know I have this belief and I have to follow this. So I know when they came out of that, you know, like ending a relationship because of that. So I wonder if they wait to talk about it until there's no cameras around.
I think they do, but I think for the sake of the viewer, it would be more interesting and we would be able to follow their journey better if we actually heard them having real conversations. Because even with Casey's
season, they didn't air that, or they didn't even talk about it after. It kind of got brushed over and it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. I know I've heard people speculate that the reason, because remember whenever Zach was with Rachel and they had their fantasy suite, it was like came out of that fantasy suite and something totally changed in that fantasy suite. No one knew what it was. Well, there's a lot of speculation that political.
But who even knows?
A lot of people are saying that they talked about politics and they figured out they were all like on different ends of the spectrum with politics. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like, again, with like Charity, say for instance, she's a bachelorette. I feel like any discussion that her and Zach had did not make, except for knowing that she had a bad breakup. I don't really know anything about Charity, like nothing really. All I know is she cries a lot and she's very pretty. And she's
and then she had a bad relationship before this. Like it's really open with, like their past relationships and like their family issues.
Their trauma dump. That's all we know about them is when they dump their trauma and that's it. And I wish that we knew, because we didn't know much about Zach either. That was another thing that I didn't like coming from. Okay. See you, Allie. is that we didn't know anything about him. He barely got airtime on the last one.
On Rachel?
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, no one got airtime. How did you like that? Again, digressing here, but were you a fan or a double season? Yeah.
So because I really liked Gabby and I also liked Rachel and I liked the dynamic, that's why I liked it. But I thought it was just so confusing. And I know they tried to make it different and something new, but I don't think they need to do it again. No. And I think the whole guys had to choose between one or the other, I didn't think that was fair. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think they didn't need to do a double season.
No, I didn't. I liked, so when you watched Caitlyn's season then, so you went to her and Britt, like, that was better.
That was also bad, though. That still was hard.
Yes, that was still bad. And I wouldn't want to do that. But I liked it better than I did the double season. And I also thought that the downside of the double season was the fact that you didn't get to know anyone really at all. Because there's so many back and forth between everything that no one got much screen time at all. And I don't know. I just hope they never do that again.
I agree. And I know now they're like, oh, maybe we'll do two bachelors. I'm like, please, no. We don't need two men. We don't need women fighting over two men.
and I think it'd be even worse if we had all those women. That would just be, oh, God.
Well, they were also lucky that Gabby and Rachel got along really well. Because that could have went so poorly.
Yeah, totally. I agree. No, let's see. I was going to say that about the falling in love thing. That was the notes I made about Charity. It seemed like that was the focus of her date. But I noticed that on everyone's date. Everyone was really consumed with whether I am going to say I'm falling in love with you or not. And did you notice? That was the other thing I was going to say. When Charity said it to him, it was as she was kissing him. So it was like, kiss.
Yes.
I think I'm kiss, falling in love with you, kiss. I was like,
yes. I know. I thought that too. And it's funny because every time, I mean, it might be every bachelorette, every time someone told him that, he just had such an awkward, cringy response. I know that most of the time they can't say it back, but they're just like, thank you so much for telling me that. Or they'll be like, I'm so happy you said that to me. Like, it's just so weird and like cringy. And he was the cringiest of them all, probably.
You know, it would not surprise me at all, like having no context to the whole season, if he just ended up with no one.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked.
Like, I don't think
I wouldn't either
go together that well.
Me because too.
Because I really do like Gabby and Ariel. I don't like them for him. Like I like them as girls. I just don't see them with him, and I don't want them to be with him. Same with Charity. Like I'm just like. Oh, she's way too pretty for him.
I think that for sure the two that don't make it will definitely be in Paradise and will probably be more cut out for Paradise too.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Allie. I even said that up until recently that I really don't think he has jived with any of them, really. Like, none of them convinced me. And I don't think that even at the end, whenever he picks, I think it's going to be Katie. That's who I think he's
going to
pick.
I was just going to say, if any of them, I would picture Katie. But Katie, I really like her because she's very quirky and like a little goofy. And I think he likes that. You can tell he likes girls that are funny and have a sense of humor, which I don't know why, because he's not
funny.
but I think it's going to be her in the end. I actually really liked their one-on-one when they had that in the museum.
I liked that, but I also liked this hometown. I thought it was the most natural date where they actually just went and did errands.
Oh, I like
and
that.
Like, that's a
normal thing. Oh, they went to her empty apartment or something.
Yeah, and then he put the shelf together for her and they unpacked the groceries. Like, that seemed like a normal thing that you actually could get to know a person better by doing those things, you know? Because you would do those things normally.
I agree. I thought they had a good date, but she just kept bringing up her family life and with like her dad leaving her. And I know that's definitely something important to talk about, but it just kept being brought up. And then when she was with, she also like, I don't know if you noticed this, but when she was with her family and she was talking to her mom, she kept whispering. And I'm like, well, what are you saying? Like, you have to speak, you're on camera and America's trying to hear you and you're whispering.
I don't think I even noticed that. No, that was when she was with her mom.
Entire time. I think because she was crying and maybe she couldn't like get the words out, maybe. Or maybe that's just the way she speaks when she cries. It was like she's literally whispering, and it was annoying to listen to. But I thought that their time, like the family time went pretty well.
So it looks like in the next week's fantasy suites. Okay, also, how many times did I just said it again. Chris Harrison. It's not Chris Harrison. It's Jesse Palmer. God. How many times did Jesse Palmer say the sex date? I was like, okay, we get it. It's not funny.
So funny you say that, because I was working while I'm watching it. So I'm not like completely like watching it. It's just kind of like one of those shows.
Write out sex week in one of your emails.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, did he just say sex week? And then like keep writing. And then I'm like, I hear him say it again. And I was like,
oh my,
did I rewind it? And then like, he kept saying it. And I was like, did this like load wrong or something? Cause I was like, he has said it so many times. I don't know what that means.
And it's funny because Dak even said, I said it once.
I know.
That he was like, I only said it once before, and everyone keep bringing it up.
Literally. Yeah. I was like, what?
Well, next week will be very interesting. I think this is when it gets to the drama. For sure.
I agree. But it's also ironic that they call it sex week, because he like announces that we obviously know he's going to have sex, but he starts off saying he's going to like have a virgin sex week, if that's possible. I don't think he says it like that, but
like, just go with the flow. Like, why do you have to have a mindset of what you have to do and want to do?
Exactly.
I wonder if it's because he probably didn't have sex with Rachel. I'm assuming.
That's true.
And maybe like, because he really got to see the side of Rachel like off camera. So then maybe like, he's like, oh, I want that experience with these girls to really see what they're like off camera and like have the whole night with them without, you know, having sex the whole time.
Right.
But like, also like, who cares? I mean, yes, you have that time, but like, you have the whole night together. Like, there's time for everything. Like, you'll be fine.
Right. You can do both.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But like, it's just so like awkward that he's going to say to each of them, I don't want to have sex with me going. Like, it's just, calm down. And then obviously he did it terribly because he ended up having sex with one of them and had to awkwardly say, oh, by the way, I had sex with one of them and not you. Like,
I'm anxious to see how they play that out. Like, how is he going to have sex? Well, first of all, wait, who do you think he's going to have sex with? Which one?
Oh, I didn't think about that. It just looks like you told Gabby that I didn't have sex with you, but I had sex with the other women.
So you think he has sex with more than one, or do you think he has sex with just one?
Who is left again? Ariel.
They also showed Katie like walking off totally crying, which would make you think that he has sex with Ariel.
Because I don't imagine him having that chemistry with Ariel. I imagine
me either. Me either. But they also
trick
you a lot in the previews. Like they'll show you a scene and they'll be playing someone crying in the background, but it's probably not, you know what I mean? So they trick you a lot. But I think it seems to me like he would have sex with Katie. That's what I would think.
I agree.
But
I think it would be her.
I don't know. Unless he has sex with two of them, but I got the impression he had only sex with one and the other two got pissed.
Sex with two of them and not Gabby.
But it could get interesting. I also wonder how, like, I just think that that's going to be the awkwardest, most awkward conversation as well with Jesse and him announcing that he's not going to have sex. Like, why do you even have to make that a thing that is like out there, like who cares? Just have it in your head. Don't say that out loud. Why? It's just like okay, this is how I picture it happening though. Okay. So this is just from listening to all the Bachelor podcasts I've listened to and listening to all the people that have ever been on it, that the producer, every time I'm like, I was about to say something.
It was very suspenseful though. I was really
totally. We're making this like cliffhangery. That this is how I picture it happening. Okay. So I picture Zach telling his producer, you know what? I think maybe, Hi, Frank.
Say hi.
Hi, buddy.
He does not want to be picked up right now. Oh, Darius.
Oh, he's such a handsome boy. Say hi, buddy. God, isn't it like Max will not look at a computer screen or a phone?
I know
he does hate the camera.
But I picture him saying to his producer, you know, I'm thinking about like not having sex with the girls because I just want to like really spend all my time getting to know them and not be distracted by sex, blah 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 blah. And just telling his producer that. And then his producer says, oh, really? Well, he goes, you know what? Maybe you should tell Jesse about that. Maybe you should talk about that on camera. And him saying, I don't know if I want to talk about that. I'm like, no, I think you should. I think this might be like a good example to set for, I don't know, however they manipulate it. And then they talk him into making it a part of the storyline. And then he ends up getting the raw end of the deal because he'll get made to, you know, look like an asshole because he sleeps with him. But I'm sure that's how it came about because it sounds that's how they really, really know how to manipulate stuff like that. Like Charlene from Juan Pablo season, she always talks about how when you have those ITMs and you have those interviews that you are required to answer in full sentences. So like if they say,
You have to repeat their question in your answer.
Yes. So like say they go, say it's this season and they say to Katie, who do you think just hangs the moon? Like you just think he's the best and he just hangs the moon. And she'll go, I think Zach he could have hung the moon, you know, like that. So then they can use that phrase and make it look like she totally said that out of her own brain, but really it was the producer putting the thought into her head and making her verbalize it like she said it.
I think that's probably how all reality show works.
Yeah. So
that's actually so smart.
It really is smart because, and then if you pay attention and you listen to it, you can tell like everything they say is pretty much like in a full sentence. They're not just like, it's not just like fragmented.
That also how you would answer the producers' jobs so much easier. If you just, all you had to do is watch the tape, cut her saying that, put it like they could do that in their sleep. Right. Rather than like them having to pull from Rin. Yeah, that's so smart.
And then the Frankenbiting thing is another thing that they do all the time. And if you listen really carefully, they do it so much. Like anytime you don't see the person's mouth saying it and you're just hearing it, you can hear like the pauses. Like it'll be like, Allie was at work today. Like, I mean, you can almost hear it if you listen for it. But that's a job. All right. Well, any last thoughts? What was your overall opinion of Zach then the season? I think we've pretty much
Look at Frank.
Is he
Look at his legs. Look at his legs. They're behind him. It's so funny.
Cute. Well, so cute. Overall, I definitely don't think this was the best season, like, at all. I think I expected it to be, I don't know, because everyone was like, oh, is that going to be so boring? It's not going to be a good season. I think I was, like, sticking up for him. I'm like, oh, no, he might not be bad. It might be a really good season, and I was totally wrong. but I actually found this season to be one of the most boring ones I've watched, to be honest. Like, I just kept finding myself, like, getting distracted and not really wanting to pay attention. But I think that, what's her name? Katie, the blonde. I always keep her name. I think she's going to end up winning unless like Allie Betty ends up with no one. And I think next week is when the drama is going to really start kicking off. So.
Okay. Yeah. Allie, what was your, just from watching two shows, what's your,
I feel like Zach is probably like a just normal person who like he's not like emotionally matured as a person yet. Like he's a person in his 20s and he's like, I mean, this was fun. They asked me if I wanted to do it. I said yes. Like he's like, I just feel like he's not like trying particularly hard, but he's not like F this. Like I don't care. But I think that's what makes it boring is it's like he's not on it for like fun and saying he went on The Bachelor, but he's not on it for like, I don't know, just he's just so serious about it. And like, but yeah, like at the same time, looks like he doesn't really care. I don't know. It's like,
yeah,
so
that's
weird.
That's so true. That's exactly.
I felt like when he was at the Women Tell All, like I felt like he would come, like his responses were like so emotional, but he like wasn't really saying anything.
Exactly.
Like, he was so upset about what he was saying. And then like he took it so seriously, but then he was like not really explaining, like wouldn't answer the question, wasn't explaining what they were wanting answers to. Like it, like I don't know. I feel like he's just
and his fake crying. I'm surprised.
My god, I can't believe that I didn't talk about that.
So true.
Did you notice? I mean, it's the classic. Every time he puts his
hand under his eye
to wipe his eye, and he makes the face like, you know, like he doesn't, like a couple times you can kind of see tears in his eyes, but it's also like they said, you have to seem really emotional. Like, again, I said this last night, but he, whenever Jess said, I wish I would have seen him get that emotional, like, I was like, he wasn't getting emotional. That was not a real cry. How did you not see that? Like, this is like the producer said, make sure and seem like you're really upset, you know? And I was like, it's okay if you don't cry. You can't, there's no way that you can be that upset every time someone leaves, you know?
I just think that, like, to be The Bachelor, like, maybe this is just me being like, sexist like towards men, but I like think that a woman being The Bachelor, like it makes sense. We're all like at heart hopeless romantics that like want to go on this show, and like, yeah, you're like, oh, I'm kind of just doing this for fun, like let's see how this goes, but like in your mind you're like, I might actually find my soulmate. But like I feel like to be a guy and to be The Bachelor, it's like I think you just have to have some level of like, I literally don't give a shit. And like, I am a little weird.
I think that the guys just go on to make out with a lot of girls.
Right. I agree. And I also feel like to bring attention to that, like you're literally putting yourself in a position where everyone's going to be like, dude, like you're with all these girls, like night, like I don't know.
But it's funny because I remember before I was 16, I thought the show was gross. I was because every time my mom would watch it, I would see it on my TV. I'm like, he literally just made out with a girl like a minute ago.
Yeah,
I thought it was so gross. And then I guess when I got a little older, I like understood the show better, so I started watching it. But no, it is like a weird concept that you're making out with so many people.
It's a weird concept in general. It's not reality at all. You're never going to be dating 30 women at one time ever in a million
and
years.
And he wants to make out with all these women. Like, it's not like you're coming on to him. Like, he's like, give me your face.
Totally. Also, it's like, if you put me in a room with 30 guys, like, I'm probably going to click with about 3 of them and like actually find like 10 of them be hot.
Right.
Like, yeah. I just think it's like, I can't imagine having to be A, the girls who have to, like, what if they aren't attracted to him? Like, right. What if they get beat in the first time? They're like, what
actually,
the
sometimes hell? That happens. That yeah. There's a couple of girls who, like, right away, they're like, I'm not into this. And then they're
did it happen on this season?
I think it happened where
two seasons ago.
Acting weird towards one of the girls, and she noticed it, and she didn't like it.
Yeah.
People aren't going to vibe. Like, right. But you have to act like you vibe with some people till literally the very end.
And I think it's because even if they don't vibe, they tell themselves in their head, oh, but I have a couple months to figure it out.
You totally. Know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, famously, they say that the vast majority of leads within the first, a lot of them know the first night, which one they vibe with the most. And that a lot of them, like by whatever, week two, totally know who they're going to pick, but they have to fake it until the end.
I mean, now being like a person who is like out of like a school situation, like when you're dating as an adult on your own, like that, I mean, that tracks. Like if you really vibe with someone out of 30 people you met in one night, like there's probably is only like two or three you're going to be like, yeah, I actually would pursue something with
right,
you.
I wish I was meeting 30 guys in one night.
Literally, no, so true. But like, if you gave talks to all three of those then for like 4 hours straight, like you would know which one you want to end.
No, I agree.
With, yeah. And then the end up with just happens to be an engagement, which is a little intense, but.
And I think that's like that in general with anybody. I don't even if you mixed up a room with men and women, 30 men and women, you would know in the first few hours which people are more your people than others. You're going to know that. And I mean, again, we it's a TV show. It's just so strange that this TV show with this concept has lasted 20 years because it really is not real life.
And that's why they keep trying to change it up. And, you know, it's all about the drama. That's really what it's all for. It doesn't matter bachelorette you pick. It's about the drama that happens.
Right. Because if you would have a season because this season was probably the closest to no drama that there's been in a long time.
And it's kind of weird how supportive the girls were of each other.
Yeah. It that's the other thing that's not reality. Like, it's like when a girl gets picked to do the one-on-one and everyone's happy for her. In what world would you be happy that another girl gets to go on the date with your boyfriend? Like, oh, you're gonna have such a great time. I'm so happy for you. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like, just, I don't know. But we love it.
And it's why we could talk about it for hours.
I have a podcast about it. Oh my God. All right. And then Charity, so you think she'll be okay? As a bachelorette,
I think I have hope. I mean, I had hope for Zach and I was wrong, but I think as long as they're good guys, I think it'll be a good season.
Yeah. I like her a lot. I mean, I think she's really sweet. I just hope I hope she doesn't, cause she cried a lot, like a lot, not even on this show, but even in the regular show. But you know, the part I'm worried about is that what I remember about her is that she's just drop dead gorgeous and so sweet, but like, I can't, there's nothing vivid in my memory other than that about her. You know what I mean? And that's what worries me, because it wasn't like she was standout with entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it won't be like Zach, where we didn't see any sides of him. Like, hopefully, I feel like with the women, we see more sides to them. I don't know why that's different, but I feel like they're more vocal than men about what they feel. So I think we'll be able to get to know her more, hopefully.
Yeah. I hope so too. Okay, well, I just have to ask one last question. This is completely random. I know Allie doesn't. Do you happen to watch Vanderpump Rules?
Oh my God, yes.
You do? Oh God, we should have had a podcast on that too.
Well, when the new episodes come out, I'm happy to talk about that with you.
Well, did you like the scandal? What do you think?
Like, I think when those when the scandals, like, you know, the new episodes they're going to be doing for it.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a huge thing.
I guess. But did you hear what Andy Cohen said about tonight's episode?
Yes. And how he said that there's a part, like a clue or something in there.
Yeah, right? that there's something that you will not. Yeah, you'll think that it was like they
edited it. And it's funny because I watched it with my roommate. I literally said to her, like, I bet you from here on now they're trying to edit all the rest of the episodes for us to find clues. But Andy confirmed that they didn't. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say, Allie?
Well, Lara went to BravoCon, didn't you?
Did you?
Yes, I didn't meet anyone from Vanderpump. I met people from Summer House, but I did see people. Actually, I saw Raquel walk past me, which is funny.
Really? Yeah. I watch every single Real Housewives.
Okay, I'm not a house. I only watch New York and a little bit of Beverly Hills, but I'm not. I'm more into like the other ones.
Yeah, like I have to limit what I watch. I think I would like Summer House, but I don't watch it because I can't. I don't have time. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. I never watched Vanderpump Rules literally until the scandal came out. So I just binged. No. I didn't. So I was like, I have got to.
Are you watching it from the first episode, like from the first
season? Not from the first season. I only watched this season. I've caught up on this season that we're currently on, season 10, and I've started season 9, so I'm kind of going backwards, but it wasn't hard for me.
The early season is what made the show, like, it's such good drama, it's almost ridiculous. The first like if you want to watch in the beginning, it's
but this is the 10th season. That's going to take me an eternity to watch 10 seasons.
I
know.
But it is really good. I mean, maybe if you, but like the older characters, like, and I'm sure you've heard of Stassi and Jack, like they were reality TV. Like they were really good.
I mean, I'm sure I will go back and watch. I think on, we have YouTube TV and they have seasons 2, 3, 9, and 10 right now. So I don't know why they picked those. But I
have to watch the first one. The first one probably just like an intro, like who they are, what it is.
Love it. I mean, like, seriously, I watched one episode of season 10 and I was like, how come I have not been watching this the whole time?
Well, the show was really about them working at the restaurant. That's not really what it's about anymore.
No.
But that's why it was so good in the beginning, because like that's what it was for, them working at a restaurant and just trying to
All of them worked at the restaurant when it first started.
Not all of them. There were a couple that were like the boyfriends or like the friend, but most of them worked in the restaurant. I was like, that's how it started.
Well, I don't know, but just from watching so far this season and seeing how what's her name? What's Tom's girlfriend? Ariana.
Oh, Ariana.
Ariana and Raquel are friends.
Oh, yeah.
That she like, even if it was a one night stand or something, that's still shitty. But I'm like, just.
Well, if you want to know any of their history about any of them as you're watching, you're confused. I'm happy.
Okay, I will.
I know Vanderbilt's whole history. I know Raquel's history, Ariana's history. Like, I know it all.
I just can't believe someone would do that both to their friend and to their 9-year girlfriend. It's terrible. Yeah. Anyway,
I even have a group chat, Allie, at work about this. But
they do.
I have one with, like, it's funny because it's Nikki and like the older, but it's really funny.
What happened?
Oh my gosh. So you tell it because you're a longer watcher.
Long story short, basically, so there's this couple, Tom and Ariana, they've been on the show for a very long time.
They've been dating 9 years.
They've been dating, almost like 10 years. And then a girl who joined on way later, but she was engaged on the show to one of someone who's on the show. They broke up. So then there was rumors about her going around that there are two Toms in the show, that she was hooking up with one of the Toms. And then it was just revealed that she was really hooking up with the other Tom, the one who has a girlfriend and the one she's friends with.
But the way she found out, the way Ariana found out, and it wasn't just like a hookup. They were having a 7-month affair. Mm-hmm. And the way that Ariana found out was she was at, so he also has a band, Tom, the boyfriend, Ariana's boyfriend, Tom has a band. And
Tom and the most extras.
Yeah. And she was at his concert at, like, it was just at a bar, but she was there with him. And like, literally, she was like standing by the stage and they were both getting interviewed and everything else about each other. And she had his phone. She was holding his phone and she looked at the phone and Raquel had sent him like an inappropriate video, like sexual video or whatever of herself. And so she saw that. And then she went through the phone and there was like all kinds of inappropriate texts and everything. And so she found out then. And the night that that all broke, Raquel, which is the one that had the affair with him, was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen and what's her name? Sheena?
Sheena.
Gina, they were on it together. They finished the show. When they left the show, supposedly Ariana called Sheena and was like, oh my God, this just happened. You won't believe it, blah, 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 blah. And Raquel walked up and was like, what's going on? And she was like, you, and then like supposedly punched her. And okay, like,
there's rumor that she punched her. I don't think that's true. I can't imagine Sheena hitting someone, but yeah, it's a lot.
It's crazy. That's and like, ruthless. When I woke up that morning, my feed was full of this. And yeah. I was like, who are these people?
Where I was like exhausted because there was just so much going on. And now it's probably on pause until the new episodes come out and the reunion come out. But yeah, I was hoping it would go on pause. I'm like, there's really not much more that can come out until Tom and Raquel speak like to the public about it.
You can go on both their Instagrams. They both had made statements. Yes,
but I meant like explain what happened.
Yes. Yes.
Not the apology. I don't care about the apology.
No, I don't either. But like Allie, if you want to go into their like Instagram, you can see what they both said about it. But I mean, it's crazy that it wasn't even like Ariana just heard from someone. Like she actually found the facts and the mm-hmm. receipts.
That's so tough.
And they both have admitted it now, so it's so crazy.
Yeah, but also a big deal that some of the old some of the old castmates are coming back because of this.
Oh, cool. Well, who was the character that was engaged to Tom Sandoval, like? Way in 2014 or something.
Oh no, so I don't think he wasn't engaged to her. It was Kristen. So she's the one that's coming back.
Kristen, yeah. She is going to be on Nick Viall's podcast tomorrow.
Oh my God, I have to listen to that.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. And she
well,
and
she didn't get like a restraining order or whatever. She didn't get papers from Raquel because Raquel sent the whole cast like legal papers saying what they can and can't say. So, but she sent it to Kristen. So Kristen can say whatever she wants.
Okay. Because I guess her and Ariana are very close. And apparently Ariana's the one who is like confiding in Kristen, supposedly. I don't know how much she'll give away tomorrow, but it's coming out tomorrow. So anyway.
Well, on Kristen's own podcast, she said a lot.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. this could be like a 3-hour podcast. Anyway. All right. We better wrap it up. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for coming on. We have to do this again, maybe like for a Bachelorette premiere or something.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
For Beverly Hills
or for a Vanderpump Rules. We could do that for the reunion. That would be really
good. I think we got Allie invested, so
yeah.
I know, I was actually like very interested by that.
Yeah, you should at least go watch season 10. I think it's only been 5 or 6 episodes. That
what is it
that,
on
Oh, it's Peacock, but it's
Peacock is easier to watch it on if you have.
But
that.
If you guys have YouTube TV, it's on there. You can find this whole season on there. So okay, all right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Keep you up too late. All right, bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.